You know, when I was about, I don't know, maybe 12, 13 years old, somewhere in that time frame, I was a pretty good sized kid, and he ended up having a pretty good sized mouth. You seem to get that, you know, around that age. And my dad goes to get the belt. And I had heard somewhere, and I repeat this because I thought at this age I'm getting a little smarter than my parents. And I said, "Dad, you need to understand something. What you're getting ready to do is not politically correct." He said, "You're right, son." He said, "This is not politically correct." But he said, "I'm not running for any office." He said, "I'm your dad, so let's go." But it wasn't politically correct now. I'm just telling y'all right now. But it was Dale Hodge correct. Okay? Amen. That's what happens. Probably the last time he ever with me, because I smarted off, opened up my mouth. And, you know,
so what you're saying is you were raised with a Bible and a belt.
That's right. That's right. That was right. And then you told the story last week. Then, you know, there was a time that he had to retire the belt. But Dad had some kind of people, he was a pretty wise man, and my mother was too, of course. But when it comes time, when, as you get 15, 16, 17, your mouth don't shut. You know that, don't you? And so you still, and now I'm really big now. I'm a football player. I just take my dad on. It don't make a difference to me. I'm 6'1", 240 pounds. He's 5'11", 180 pounds. I mean, do the math. So I said, "Hey," he said, "I don't know what I did, but I smarted off again." They said, "Well, it's time to get your punishment." I said, "Yeah, come on, get your belt, let's go, old man." He said, no. He said, I don't. He said, "You know, that's not politically correct." He said, "Just hand me the keys to the car." And he said, "How about riding the bus for a couple of weeks? When you're a senior in high school, seniors in high schools do not ride school buses." I mean, I'm trying to impress some. It's hard to impress her when you ride up in an orange bus, 60 feet long, instead of number 5.7. Understand one thing. Folks, there's a price to pay when you don't follow the rules. It's just pretty simple, isn't it? Give the Lord a hand of applause. Alright, here we go. Oh, nursery. It's a nursery time.
That seemed right there a message, because that old story you've been saying, she'd been shaking her hand, raising her hand. Yeah. And then she would make sure the story was told. That seemed right there. I felt the whole time that she was shaking her hand.
Well, you feel like the story was told right?
She's freaked out. She knows the story.
Let me tell you something, what made me mad about this woman, she didn't protect me. A mother's job is to protect her child against the day. Not only did she not protect me, she called me and said, "It's your son, you deal with it." Although I did tell my mother one time to shut up. I was about 14, 15 years old. I was 6'1" again. She was 5'5". She said, "Do me a favor." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Just sort of bend down a little bit." I said, "Why?" Because she said, "I'm going to slap you." So I bent down, and she slapped me in the next ear. You know what? I never talked about it again. I don't know what you call that. That's the Bible in my hand, isn't it? All right. I ain't got a thing to do with what we're talking about. I'm going to give y'all something again. All right. Mom got to do the same thing to Matthew. He was 6'4", but he was 13 years old. She said, "Get down here, boy. We got to talk." All right, Larry, here we go. Are you ready to receive biblical advice? Everybody said?
Amen.
That's right. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, another way to say, children of God, people who want to hear. Forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Forget not my law. Forget not my way. So if you live at home and you got parents, they pay for the roof. They pay for the property. They pay for the food. They pay for the heat. They pay for the air. They pay for the trip. They pay for the cars. They pay for the clothes on your back. Am I correct so far? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, believe me, we deal with parents across the line sometimes. I don't think we deal with that here. My parents never crossed the line, but boy, they got close a couple of times. And I even threatened my mother one time. I said, hey, I'm going to call the services on you. She said, good. I've been wanting to talk to these people too, but she said, let's give them a good reason. So let's just get it all on right now. So we're going to get the people here, let's give them a good reason. Hey, my parents, there was something wrong. But let thy heart keep thy commandments. What's in your heart, what you believe, is how you act. What's in your heart is how you open your mouth. What's in your heart is how you act like a Christian. Give the Lord a hand of applause. And now look what can happen if you act like you've got some sense. For the length of days and years of life and peace will they add to thee. Oh, goodness gracious. Verse 2, how long do I have? And, you know, again, I keep bringing up my mom and dad, but other than these subjects, this is how I was raised. My dad said, if you want to live a little longer, then you act like you got some sense. See, if you do the right thing, you get length of days. You get years to your life. And then when you become an adult, some people don't become adults until they're about 60. Sometimes even 60-year-olds are not adults. But at whatever point you become an adult, then act like an adult. Act like you got some sense. Act like you want God in your life. Act like you know God's Word. Act like you want to study God's Word. Act like when you come to church, it's the best place that you want to be. And if you'll do that, you will have length of days and years of life. And what?
Peace.
Let me tell you something. You don't know how valuable peace is until you don't have it. How's that? Huh? You take it for granted until you don't have it. And sometimes peace comes in a lot of different forms. And lack of peace comes in a lot of different forms. Understand this one thing. The only way to have peace about any situation that you deal with in life is through Jesus Christ. Because there comes a time when I can't control somebody else. There comes a time when all I can do is pray that somewhere along the line they learn how to control themselves through the amazing grace of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. Amen. Yeah, there you go. Now look at verse 3. Man, this is good advice too. It's just a lot of good advice here. And here's what I love. This is not my advice. This is God's advice. Let not kindness and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. Kindness and truth. You can't deal with your problem until you accept the truth. And that's psychology 101, but it's really biblical 101. You can't change anything until you realize it needs to be changed. You with me?
Amen.
I don't care whether it's yourself, your child, your spouse, your parents, your best friends, people you work with. Understand, nobody can change you but you. People come to me all the time and say, well, you know, I think I can change this person once I'm married. Oh, my land. Can we write a book here, people? Hey, but usually the general rule is, and I say it's a general rule because on occasions that is true. But the general rule is, what you see is what you get. If you like what you see, if you like the way they act, then go ahead and marry them. Now, don't mean that people don't change. I understand that. People go through life changes, and people go through things that, you know. In Sunday school class today, we talked about buttons. And I'm going to tell you, at first, I had a group of men. We had a very wonderful conversation. Then two ladies come into class. Then we got to really talking about buttons then. What do I mean by buttons? When you get up in the morning, you've got a button. Now, hopefully that button is small. Sometimes we wake up and the button is big. And what I mean by button is, that's when someone pushes it. When they push it, then the party's on. Now, the bigger the button, the easier to push. And I know some of you say, well, you know, that's a woman thing. Oh, no, it's not. It's a man thing. It's a teenager thing. It's a parent thing. I don't care your gender. I don't care your age. You got a button. Understand this. The bigger the button, the more miserable you will be. How's that for just being psychology 101? Okay? The bigger the button, the miserable you're going to be. Because you ain't never going to be happy because someone's always going to push it. And here's the deal. Sometimes you even push your own button. Can you believe that? Sometimes I just want to fight with myself. So I'll just push my own button. It happens. I know that sounds silly, but hey, this is silly 101. It happens. How do I make my button smaller? Only person that can make it smaller is Jesus. Amen. You understand that? Jesus is the only one that can make the button smaller. Believe me, he can do it. He does it in time, does it in time, does it in time. And the more my button gets smaller, here's what happens. Kindness and truth become a part. Because the only way to make my button smaller is to accept the truth about myself. Myself. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I'm not even good. Doesn't mean I don't want to be, just sometimes I'm not. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. The greatest prayer on the planet is to go to the one who can help you and say, Lord, help me. Because if he helps me, maybe at some late time, I can learn how to help someone else. But it's got to start with me. I cannot shrink your button until I figure out a way to shrink mine. Man, that's worth a lot of money, that advice right there. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. If you do those things, you find kindness, you live with the truth. Then you find favor and good and understanding in the sight of God first. Understand, I want you to see this piece of scripture here. What's first here, God or man? You ain't going to make it right with a person until you make it right with God. I don't care who the person is. I don't care how they're related to you. You cannot make it right. When people come to me and got issues with someone else and want to talk about it, I said, well, number one, let's just talk about you. No, I want to talk about the other person. No, let's talk about you. And I explain, and I quote this scripture. I'm not saying that you're the ones at fault here, but I'm just saying you're not going to have the ability. You can't help someone else drowning if you can't swim yourself. How's that? Is that a pretty good illustration?
Yes. Amen.
If someone's drowning out in the water and I can't swim, if I jump out of the boat into the water, then we're both on the ground. That's simple, isn't it? So before I can save somebody else or help somebody else, I got to learn to swim myself. And the only person who can teach you that is Jesus Christ. Okay? Because believe me, Satan wants you in deep water. You understand that? He wants you in deep water. He wants you struggling. He wants you drowning. But the best way to save yourself from drowning is to learn how to swim with Jesus. After all, he's the one that walked on the water. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. Take this. Trust in God with all thy heart and lean not upon thy own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Mom loved this scripture. Trust in God with all thy heart. How much do you really trust God? Really, true. How much do you trust him? It's easy to trust him when everything's going well that day, or that week. Everything's just going well for you. Your health is good. Your finances are good. Everybody's getting along with each other. Everybody's good. The preacher's acting like it's got some sense. I mean, it's all good, okay? But you let something go a little painful. You let a little something happen at work. You let a little something happen at home. You let something happen with your family, with your friends, with your health, with your finances. And then we have to understand something. When life gets tough, the only way to get through it is to understand. We got to trust God in all of our heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, because I don't understand it. How many times people have asked me, why is this one sick? Why am I going through this? Why is this child of mine doing this? I've heard it, and I understand. I understand, say this, I don't know. See, the trouble of it is, I'm not worried about the past, because there's nothing to do about it. All I'm worried about is the future. You can't change your past, but you've got a lot to figure out about your future. Lean not, I don't understand it, but it always. Now this always is a good phrase, folks. It means no matter what, I'm dealing with the life. Mad, angry, happy, sad, confused. I don't care what it is. When I don't understand something, I still have got to acknowledge him. I don't know why my mother passed away. She was a big influence around here. Everybody loved her. I don't understand it. I know she's happy now. I know she's doing well now. She ain't got no issues. But I mean, it don't make any difference. I've done funerals of small children. I've done funerals of people that were in car accidents. I've done funerals for about every situation you can imagine. Suicide. I don't know. And I tell people all the time, I don't have all the answers. All I do know is that Jesus loves and Jesus cares. That's what I know. That's all I know. I hope that helps you, because Jesus cares for you. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Here you go. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil, because it will be health to thy neighbor and marrow to thy bones. Now, be not wise in thine own eyes. Sometimes I have to remind God that I'm an educated man. I got a lot going on. I'm pretty smart. I think I can really figure this out, God. I think I can figure this out. God said, well, go ahead and figure it out. A couple of days later, when I'm on my tail, I say, God, I figured it out. I'd like to get off my tail, if you don't mind. So he puts his hand down and he raises me up. Because I failed. Okay? I thought I have all the answers. I don't have any answers. I got questions. But when I go to God, he'll give me the answer. But here's the deal. Sometimes I ain't the answer I want. But I have to understand something. Even if it's the answer that I don't want, it's the answer that I need. Oh, that's worth a lot. You understand that? It may not be the answer that I want, but it sure is the answer that I need if I'm walking by faith. Fear God and depart from evil. Now, this goes to the first thing. People ask, what the cross does mean? It will be health to thy neighbor. Now, you definitely don't want to see my neighbor. But you know, it's right there. Okay? When I was younger, probably was inch emperor. Now that I'm older and more muscular, I don't have one anymore. But it's still there, sort of way. No, don't buy it. You ain't got one either. Okay? Don't start. What's around your navel is your stomach. Understand this. You having a bad day, you're going to know it, and you got it. You're going to know it by the time you have to go to the restroom. You're going to know it by the time the fact you can't eat anything. You're going to know by the fact that everything you eat goes against you. You know why? Because you're all tore up inside and your body knows it. See what that means now? So if I'm having a good day and I'm trying not to worry about much, I may have a decent intestines. Believe me, when you've got an intestines out of whack, you want to fix it. Don't you? It's no fun, folks. It's no fun. Health to thy neighbor. And moral to the bones. Now those of you in the medical field know what moral is. Understand something. That's what strengthens your bones. At Monica's age, she takes injections twice a year to help that. Because sometimes women, because their makeup, their bones can get weak and they can break very easily. Understand all this is saying, folks, and you understand it, is the more you're with Jesus, the stronger you will get. That's all it means. Nothing fancy in words. It just means if you want to feel good physically, you get with Jesus. Because he will make it right. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have a good day every day. Don't mean you're not going to have any aches and pains. But more of the aches and pains that you might have just happens to come with age. I can't do the things that I used to do when I was 30. Okay? I can't do the things I used to do when I was 25. I can't do the things I used to do when I was 57. And I'm 57 now. It changes every day. Okay? It changes every day, folks. But I am thankful I'm alive. I'm thankful I can stand. I'm thankful I can walk. I'm thankful that I can do what I can do. Because the more thankful that I am, the better I might be able to move. When I start complaining, I start getting aggravated, I start blaming God, and then people want to know why I can't walk the next day. Why I'm dealing with arthritis. Why I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with. Maybe if you would just learn to be thankful, you may find out what healing's all about. But if you ain't thankful, don't be looking for healing. Well, that's worth some round of applause there. Let me take that. God loves you. He's got your best interest at heart. And believe me, even when the day comes when he just takes me on home or blows the trumpet, I'm going to leave the old body behind, and I'm going to leave everything behind. Amen. And I know that I tell Marcia this, and I know it depresses her, but there's not going to be any clinics up there in heaven. We're going to have to deal with that. We're not even going to need a nurse up there, but that's not for heaven's sake. No, nurses, you're going to be unemployed. Hey, other than that, too, ain't going to need no preachers either. We won't be unemployed. Why talk about Jesus when I'm walking with you every day?
Amen.
What a day that's going to be. Keep our attitude right. Here's some good advice, folks. Proverbs is good for it. Let me tell you, there's some good stuff here. You watch it by internet, listen close. You control your buttons. You control your life. Understand, when you know Jesus, he's first place. You might not get everything you want, but I promise you, you'll have everything you need. And after all, as we get older and understand the wisdom of that, it's not what I want anymore. It's just what I need.
Amen.
Give me two stand with me, please. Father, there were some big lessons today. Father, may we understand the lessons of life. Father, the way to get through this life is with Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for every person here. I pray for every adult, every child, every teenager, that they truly understand what it is to know Jesus Christ. Father, it is my prayer that you touch every life. And if there's a life here today that needs a quiet time with this altar, we invite them to come. If there's someone here, Father, who just needs to come and to let me pray with them, I would be most glad to do that. But most of all, for someone here today that's under conviction that you're lost, which means you've not made a public decision to accept Jesus Christ, we invite you most of all. And all you've got to do, as so many have done of recent days, is just come and say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. I'm going to have a word of prayer with you. And I promise you that life as you know it will change forever if you'll give it to Jesus. Father, bless these moments and all that we do. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of
Mm-hmm.